So
this
the first time,
this conference will now be recorded.
Okay, thank you. The first item is the approval of the minutes of May 20th. So I need a motion.
I'll move it.
Estella, I'm sorry, everyone has to introduce themselves for the recording before the meeting starts.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So should I start? Estella Lopez, I'm chairing the grant committee.
Peter Lisi, board member, chair.
Ann Foley, board member.
Ann, I'm sorry, Barbara. Barbara, you're probably on mute. Yeah, you're mute. You have to unmute yourself.
Barbara Lindsay, grant committee member.
Thank you. Okay.
The staff has to introduce himself also.
Jeanette Weldon, Chiefa.
Okay.
Denise Aguilera, Chiefa.
Eddie Sugarman Weintraub, Chiefa.
Eileen McDonald, Chiefa.
Deborah Galley, Chiefa.
Kara Stewart, Chiefa.
Anybody else?
No.
And I'm sorry that I'm in a rush to ensure that we have time for everything. But as you are very much aware, we tend to prefer to mute the mic until we able to talk. I'll keep mine unmuted because I'm chairing the meeting. So again, the first item was the approval of the minutes, and I think somebody had moved it already.
Yeah, and I'll move it.
And then need a second.
I will second. It's Ann Foley.
Thank you, Ann. And then any questions, comments? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you so much. And then we're going to move into executive session. So I need a motion to move into executive session.
I'll move it. Peter moves it.
Okay. Thank you.
Can you just state the purpose of the executive session? Just state the agenda item.
The agenda item is the communication parliamentary procedures.
Okay.
I'll second it. It's Ann.
Thank you. And all those in favor of moving to executive session?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. So then the staff will leave except Jeanette and Denise. And then when we're ready, Denise will provide us with the information.
And actually, Estella, we have it set up. There's a separate dial-in number for the executive session.
The staff can stay on the line. It's the board members who are going into executive session who drop off. We quit this meeting, and then you reconnect with the executive committee meeting number that you got.
This conference will now be recorded.
I did not get lost in space.
Right.
Okay, we have a little bit less than an hour, so. Oh my gosh. Oh gosh.
Stella, who are we waiting on? Barbara?
I don't know.
I'm here.
Barbara is here. I don't see. Let me see what
waiting on Betty.
Yeah, I texted Betty.
Okay. Annie's there? Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so Betty has arrived.
Okay, and Anne is there. I don't see Anne now. Is she there? Yeah. Anne and Barbara, okay. Thank you so much, everybody. And I really want to begin by thanking Betty and Jeanette for the foresight of really responding to the COVID-19 challenge by proposing to us that we grant cycle in terms of awarding, joining all the other grant opportunities into one and awarding entities that were serving our community at this difficult time. And there were four things that were suggested as critical criteria: that it was a statewide need, that it was a statewide initiated or sector. And I think I want to emphasize this sector because CHIFA serves education, health, childcare, and cultural sectors, serving the citizens of Connecticut or multiple counties, and reach large individuals and organizations. So those were the criteria to looking at the grants. There were a number of grants that were submitted, 35 grants, and 14 are being recommended for funding. And again, I thank you for reviewing them and making the recommendations. But I think it's very important that we, the members of the grant committee, and Barbara, Peter, and I, look at everything that was submitted and try to ask ourselves, are there things that we should consider or that they were not recommended? Are they the ones that were recommended? Are they questions that we have? So I want to invite you by first reviewing and asking questions regarding those that were not recommended. Are there any questions for the grants that were not recommended? I have a number of questions and things, so I want to begin by giving you the opportunity to ask questions about grants that were not recommended and that you may think are worthwhile considering. And remember to unmute your microphone if you want to talk. I know Peter has questions, so if nobody talks, yeah. I'll ask Peter to start.
Well, you know, I guess there's a couple on here that I would question that are getting funded, but if your question is things that didn't get funded, I guess
that
my
are not recommended.
Right. The ones that aren't recommended, I guess I'm just, I wish we could have found a way to fund something that was in the arts area. You know, if this is COVID-19, you know, the arts organizations are getting decimated. And, you know, I'm always a proponent of these grant programs, really having the grants find their way to the end user and helping individuals. I mean, I really like the idea of the money not getting hung up in administrative structure, overhead, and all that stuff, and really helping people. Having said that, you know, the arts organizations, I'm not sure how much they help people per se, but I think that they're a vitally important part of the community. And kind of it, the stresses and the anxieties the communities are feeling. So I guess I would have liked to have seen something on the proposed award page that spoke to the arts community. I mean, how organizations like the Hartford Stage or Theater Works or Bushnell or the Symphony is going to survive this, I'm not sure. And then when you take away the arts from a community, I think that there's a real void. I mean, just like, you know, whether it's education, healthcare, or homeless shelters, domestic violence, I mean, mm-hmm. they're all an important part of what makes it, what helps citizens of a community. And I just don't see us doing anything in the arts. So that's a long-winded answer, Stella.
Thank you, Peter. I totally agree with you, Peter. That's a sector that we serve. And that's a sector that has been devastated. Like you, I believe that the arts are such a critical component. And, you know, in this time, if there's something I miss, is, you know, the presence of the arts in our lives, in everyday lives, and we're trying to do it through technology. It's very hard. So I would like to recommend that we find some funding to support the Connecticut Humanities Council in their request, not necessarily the total amount they suggested, but find some funding to do that. So I want to hear from Anna and Barbara if they have any objection to that. And by the way, I don't have to recuse myself this time from any entity, so I'm good. So, Anne, you want to say something?
Yeah, well, I'm just wondering how that would fit in with the amount of money that's available and what we have in front of us. Does that mean that we have to reject something here in order to make room for that?
Not necessarily. No, we don't have to reject anything, but I do want to talk because I do have questions regarding two of the grants that are being recommended, you know, and their purpose and so on and so forth. So I think if we are in agreement, we can sort of let that sit. And then after we finish the discussion, the overall discussion, we can see if there's any funding that we can identify to give them something in terms of it being a critical sector at this time that is does something very different. But, you know, I want to make sure that everybody's in agreement with that.
No, this is Barbara speaking. I'm in agreement with that. I think it's bread and roses. The arts are having a terrible time, and if they don't get some help now, they may not be there when we get through this.
Yeah. They're devastated. They're decimated. Yeah. Okay. Are there any?
I would say, you know, I don't feel that strongly about it, frankly. I think a lot of what we have here before us is kind of life and death stuff. Some of it. And I think it's probably more critical. But I don't have a concern if there is additional funding available. If we understand the amount of funding that we're talking about giving them.
Right. Well, we would have to go ahead, Peter.
No, I just want to respond to Anne. I agree with it. I think that, you know, to use your term, the life and death stuff ought to come first. But just my own personal feeling, there's a couple of things on the proposed award that are not life and death sort of things, and to me are not that high priority, nor are they going to have a very significant impact. And to me, the impact of funding something in the arts would be much greater than the other ones. But again, I agree, and for me, the very top priority of this program should be kind of quote those life and death things and the things that really reach the citizens or the end user. And there's a couple on here that, you know, just personally don't quite do it for me, and I would replace some arts funding for those. But that's just me.
Yeah. Let me make sure that I include everybody. Barbara, do you have any questions regarding the ones that are being recommended? Do you feel, because I did some numbers and I'm with Peter, you know, I have some concerns about the recommendations, two of the recommendations. Do you have any issues with anything at this time?
Is she muted?
No, she's not. I think she's looking at the grants.
She's thinking. I'm not sure about the Boys and Girls Club because I don't know what summer programming they are actually going to be able to do. But long range, yes, they need it.
Right. I can tell you because I discussed that one with Betty, and I think the rationale was that they provide a place for parents that are working to have their children be in a safe environment that allows these children to be engaged and do something. So it's really not direct support, but indirect support, so parents can go back to work, especially parents that are low wages and so on. So that was the rationale. Again,
Also, I'd like to just add that it's not just summer programming, it's also fall programming. So it was a combination of both.
Yeah, I saw that. I have trouble sorting out from this list what might not be essential. They look fairly strong to me.
Yeah, I can tell you because I raised two issues. One is the funding for the Connecticut State Colleges and Universities. If you read their request, they're talking about 20,000 students that they would distribute the funding among. So if they were requesting $1 million, and the money that is being recommended is $300,000. So that means if you divide it between 20,000 students, that means that each student will get $26. So I did talk to Betty and ask them how are they going to distribute, because $26 is nothing. It's really, you know. So she did write to them and they replied that if they were going to get less than $1 million, then they would have to think about how they're going to redistribute the funding, but they did not provide necessarily the specifics of whether it will go to, because they had categories, they had the students who are undocumented DACA students that could not get part of the CARES Act. They had, but we don't have the numbers for those. They have students who didn't fill out the FAFSA. So they didn't, they have students at community colleges and university. So they did not provide any specifics regarding how that funding will be distributed. So I have concerns about that, about just giving money and it will be not significant, not meaningful, and not helpful necessarily. So although the intent for me is really good, I didn't see what they submitted, the specifics to justify the request.
So Estella, I just want to add on to that based on the feedback that I had gotten in the email. They said that if the grant award was smaller than the $1 million they had requested, which was revised from their original request of over $8 million after I spoke to them and said that that was not realistic. They said that that they would, if the grant was small enough, then to yield only minimal grants for each student, less than $100, then they would revisit and target a subset of students, such as university versus college, or continue to identify other funding options to supplement the grant.
Yeah, Betty, you were kind enough to share the email with me, but they don't provide any specifics. So we wouldn't know who would be the recipient of the funding. We wouldn't know whether it would be DACA students, whether it would be community college students. We have, the criteria wasn't specified. So that's my concern. That's why I'm raising it.
But it sounds like the undocumented students were the population that they're targeting, and they would just have to further reduce the number of undocumented students that they could help. Is that correct?
We don't know, and they don't give the numbers. They gave 20,000 students in the original letter that they submitted. And then we don't know how many of the 20,000 students are DACA. They didn't specify. They included in that number students who don't fill out FAFSA. And because there are some students who don't do it, some because they don't need it, some because they are afraid of doing it. By lowering the amount, we don't know necessarily whether it will go to DACA students or not. So that, again, and $300,000 divided into whatever the number is, very little. So that's my concern.
Could we specify that it should go for undocumented students?
We could, I guess we could, that it be targeted, but then how many are there? You know, are there 10,000 DACA students? I don't know, are there less?
Okay, I understand.
We could definitely specify whatever the board, the grant committee decides and the board decides.
Okay, yeah, I like your recommendation, Anne, that it's it specifies DACA students. I like that. I think that that's appropriate. That's a good recommendation.
And then to Barbara's question, I think it was Barbara that asked which ones, you know, might we take out to make room for the arts? You know, there's one on here for the Connecticut Conference of Independent Colleges, $100,000 for PPEs, testing, faculty, contract tracing. And, you know, Connecticut Conference of Independent Colleges, they will, the $100,000 will get divided up amongst 15 schools. And now some schools will get a little bit more than others, but just say, you know, the average, you know, 100,000 divided by 15, you know, it's around 7,000, a little under 7,000. And I shared this with Estelle and Betty, so there's no mm-hmm. surprises. I just wonder about how impactful, you know, $7,500 is going to be to one of the independent colleges. You know, it's a worthy, you know, the project description is worthy. I mean, all of the applications have, you know, a significant degree of worthiness, but in terms of impactfulness, I'm not sure, you know, an average of $7,500 to one of the independent schools is gonna change lives.
Right.
But that's just my feeling.
No, and I second what you're saying. I mean, you have, you know, independent colleges that have less resources, like Goodwin, Albertus Magnus, maybe yeah. University of Bridgeport, but then you have Wesleyan that doesn't need yeah. that money. Then you have Yale, you know.
Yeah, very honestly, if the proposal was to give the $100,000 to the most needy school of CCIC's membership, I'd probably be fine with it.
Right.
But just to dilute $100,000 by 15 schools just isn't, to me, not very compelling, but that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. To me, that's funding that the $100,000 that could go perhaps to the humanities, Council for the Humanities, and then make the recommendation of the Connecticut State Colleges and University targeted to DACA students. Sure. Does that make sense to the three of you? I see your faces, and nobody's moving their face up and down. And
I
need body language, people.
I also have a question about the Hartford Healthcare mobile testing, because I think that the state is funding them for that, and I just want to make sure they're not double dipping. I can take care of it on my end, I think, by, you know, rolling back by 400,000 if they are getting funding from the state, which I think they are. I'm trying to find out, but I can't in the short term. So I think that what Hartford Healthcare has there is appropriate. It's just that I just want to make sure that they're not, as I said, double dipping and getting money from us and the state for the same purpose.
Okay, that's appropriate.
That's a great point, Ann. I mean, if they can source the funds they need from the state, I mean,
right.
that frees up, you know, a lot of money we could reallocate ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you could fund them here, and then the state could save some money on the.
Right.
One of the things I want to just bring up is that in between the time that the grant application was funded,
right.
they may have heard that they were going to receive additional, you know, dollars through the state. So I think Ann's point is that potentially what happened was they submitted their application at the time, and they did not know that they were, you know, if they were going to get some money, additional monies from the state for that purpose. So that just is something to take into consideration.
Yeah.
Now, so I have a general question about that. That a lot of these PPE requests and equipment requests, I wonder if they've already been addressed because things have moved so fast.
In some cases, they may have upfronted money that they really hadn't budgeted for. So they're kind of, you know, taking it from some other line item because they needed to buy the PPE. And I know that the prices were really very high in terms of the retailers and the manufacturers and the wholesalers pumping up the price point. So I don't have as much concern about that. And also, it's an ongoing need, frankly. So,
right. I would agree. So I think, Anne, what I'm hearing you say is that you're fine with the recommendation for Hartford Health, and you would find out how they're faring, and you can deal with that internally in case they're double dipping, right? That's what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you have no objection. Okay, how about the independent colleges? Do you agree with Peter and my sense that that funding should not necessarily be allocated to them?
I'm okay with that recommendation. I feel, you know, I'm not as familiar with the independent colleges as Peter is. And so I take his advice there.
Okay, Barbara?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Can we reallocate that funding to the Council of Humanities?
That's okay with me.
Okay, Barbara?
Yes, that's fine.
Peter?
Yes, that's fine with me, but I guess I would have a question either for Betty or someone on the IRC, because, you know, we just have the benefit of the numeric score here, and the Connecticut Humanities Council got a 61. So I guess I'm looking for an opinion from the people that know these applications best. You know, if they had $100,000 to reallocate, how would they feel about it going to the Connecticut Humanities Council?
So I would weigh in about this. This is strictly a board decision, and the list of recommended was given to the board, and this is a board decision, so it's based on your conversation.
And well,
I know
also,
I know it's a board decision. I'm looking for an opinion.
Janet.
There was discussion of the Humanities Council in the IRC meeting, and there were, you know, mixed views on whether or not it should be funded. So, and I think it sort of came down to, you know, how do you weigh the humanities versus actual healthcare needs, which is similar to the discussion that's gone on here. So if anyone, you know, I don't think it would be an issue from an IRC perspective in terms of anyone feeling it's, you know, wrong, but, you know, Denise, Michael, and Cynthia can speak up if they have any concerns in that regard.
I think we had a dog opinion, so that's.
Sorry.
I will say that as a no.
Go ahead, Peter.
No, I guess maybe I could ask the question a different way. And I realize this is a board decision, but I'm interested in the internal staff's opinion. If you had $100,000 to reallocate, you know, would it go to the Humanities Council, or would we just go down the list to see the next highest score? I mean, I'm just wondering, if you were given $100,000 to reallocate, how would you do it? What would you do with it?
So I'd just like to kind of put a little perspective as far as how the grant application, what it said. It was really focused on how we would respond to how dollars would be allocated in response to the crisis. So as you've said, as Estella has said, the arts and humanities sectors have been decimated. There's 40 to 45% unemployment in that sector. And so when we talk about COVID response and we talk about what's happening in our state, that is a sector that is being very, very hard hit. You know, my feeling is that it's a very valid, you know, point that the board has brought up.
Peter, if you look at the scoring, the Council for the Humanities come after the Connecticut Immigrant Rights Association. And my understanding is that that nonprofit did not qualify because they were, it has organizations that are for profit, I believe, and they're being taken care of through the 4CT funds. So in the scoring, you know, if you eliminate the Connecticut Immigrant Rights Association, the Connecticut Humanities Council is right underneath that. So, you know, I think it's we are not jumping necessarily using that score that we got.
So Estella, yeah. I'll just add on to what you were saying about the Connecticut Immigrant Rights Association. We had a discussion about this with the IRC, and because some of the funds that would be the end beneficiaries, like the Hartford Mutual Aid or the UNDOCU Fund, may not have been 501c3 nonprofits. Right. So therefore, the IRC recommendation, in order to support the undocumented population and immigrant population writ large, is really to focus the 4CT funds towards their effort, which is the governor announced in conjunction with 4CT that they have a large scale effort to support the undocumented population through something called the 4CT card that would be administered through right. community-based organizations and community health centers. That's just a little bit of clarification on the Connecticut okay. immigrant rights as well as the 4CT grant.
Good. Are you okay? Does that make sense to you, Peter?
Yes, it does. But unfortunately, it raises an I guess now that I'm looking at this, there's a couple other questions.
Please go ahead. Well,
the Connecticut Humanities Council requested between $500,000 and $1 million, and mm-hmm. we're talking about reallocating $100,000.
Right.
So now I'm wondering how impactful $100,000 is going to be to the Connecticut Humanities Council. You know, again, I don't know the application intimately enough to pass judgment on that. I'm just putting it out there as a question. And then secondly, you know, Estella, you were just talking about the scoring. Now I'm noticing that the Connecticut Humanities Council, their score is higher than one that we have approved or was recommended. The Connecticut Association for Community Action had a mm-hmm. score, you know, just under 60, and the Humanities Council was at 61. Now, I know that there's an additional step beyond the scoring. There's an internal review committee meeting, but I don't know. Maybe I open up a can of worms by this, because I'm not sure the Connecticut Humanities Council, if $100,000 is going to be yeah. meaningful to them.
Betty can answer the second part, but I think the Connecticut $100,000 is not enough. None of what we're giving is enough. So, but I think, you know, if you're talking about giving to DACA students, that's not enough. But I think it's meaningful, and we are trying to take care of a sector. So that would be my sense. Anne, you want to say something?
I'm not sure what I want to say. So.
That's okay.
Well, one thing I do want to update people on another a topic on the Hartford Healthcare. They are not getting any state funding, and they okay. do really, really need this funding. So I'm all on board on that.
Oh, bravo. That's good news. Maybe we should end now, you know. Betty, I don't remember the Connecticut Association for, I know I had it when I reviewed the grants. I know I had that one for myself, but I don't remember the details of that one.
Estella, which association? Sorry, my camera has stopped working and I don't know why all of a sudden it just.
Association for Community Action. Hardware, software to support
the mobile. The community action agencies, yes. So the community action agencies came to us for both PPE as well as for renovations to their offices so that they could be compliant with state regulations, like sometimes they're putting up plexiglass dividers. And they also came to us for some remote equipment for their staff to work at home. And the IRC recommendation is for the PPE and the renovations. The community action programs are the state and federally allocated community action agencies focused on anti-poverty. So there are 9 of them throughout the state. They cover the entire state.
Okay. And I do think that's a good idea because they are kind of the first resource for people who are experiencing, you know, unemployment, poverty associated with COVID, and in general. So I think that's a good place to put money.
Okay, good. Peter, you have any, does that answer, try to answer your concern?
Yes. But
thank you.
You know, I don't know these groups as well as, I mean, I just learned something about listening to Anne describe it. And I guess it just, for me, it begs the question why it was scored so low. Now, maybe they just don't have good writers on their staff. I mean, I don't know what the reason is, but it sounds like an incredibly worthy organization. Yet it came through with one of the lowest scores. But having said that, I don't want to belabor the issue because it sounds like a good organization. So we'll go with it.
So Peter, I'd like to address your concerns about the scores. The IRC scored based on a scoring rubric. And as you know, we included the scoring rubric. And each of the IRC reviewers utilize that scoring rubric a little bit differently than someone else. There were some reviewers that were very low, that scored things very, very low, and that threw off everybody else's scores. So because we have only 5 reviewers, if you have one person that scores very low, it will bring down everybody else's scores. And I think that that's reflected in the numbers that you'll see here. So that there, when the IRC is given the scoring rubric and the grants to review, there are no directions other than utilizing the scoring rubric, which utilizes a high, low, and medium range. So there's no direction, you know, you have to use a 9 or you have to use a 6 or something like that. Therefore, what happens is it shows that the numbers were, the numbers were low because of that. But what I would say, as far as the numbers, that's less important than the actual, what the grant is for and the organization and how those organizations are seen in the community. The community action programs are stalwart agencies in our communities that are dealing with everything from childcare to food to mental illness, domestic violence. They cover the gamut. And they have case managers that work with folks. So that's why when the IRC discussed this one, we determined that this one was one of the ones that we wanted to recommend for the PPE and the renovations so that they could support their clients that come in.
Thank you. Thank you. I think that we have come to agreement in terms of the slate that we want to present to the board, that we're comfortable with the recommendations. There's one modification to ask the state colleges and universities to target the funding to undocumented DACA students, And then the other one is not to fund the Conference of Independent Colleges and to award that amount to the Connecticut Council on the Humanities. Is that fair? Is that good for everyone? So I
that
need
sounds right.
So I need a motion, Barbara. You want to make the motion? So you have your microphone on.
I'll make a motion. Fine.
Okay. Barbara, you second?
I'm second. Forcing
you. Thank you. Thank you. Any questions, comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you so much. We've come to an agreement. This is very, very important. I'm delighted that Chifa can contribute. And again, I want to thank Betty for the work, the IRC reviewers, Janet for the vision of supporting that the funding go to help in these incredible difficult times of pandemic. And you have like 10 minutes to recover and then go back to another link to the board meeting. So thank you so much. We can listen to you. Thank you so much.
Need a motion to adjourn?
I'll move it. Motion to adjourn.
And nobody opposes.
Second.
I'm not taking a vote. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.